Well, good morning. It's good to be with you again this morning. Pray the Lord's blessing as we open His Word on this Palm Sunday to see what God has for us, His will for our lives, and His Word today. We're working our way slowly through Proverbs, extension from last week's Proverbs. Now we're in Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 13 through verse 20. You know, there's a place where you can go to find absolute truth. And God's word is faithful and true that you can build your life for an eternity upon God's faithful, inerrant, and infallible word. And this is God's word to us this morning, Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. That's as far as we'll read. Let's bow our heads as we think about these verses this morning. Lord God, your word is powerful and effective. It works in the hearts of man, the mystery we cannot fathom through your Spirit. We pray, Lord, you would give us ears to hear your word this morning. Give us lives that will honor you. May we learn and grow closer to you through the preaching of your word and from the reading of your word. May you, Lord, work your good work in each of our hearts this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. George Wishart. Anybody know that name? George Wishart. We got one in the back. Wow. That's a bold move. I would quiz you, but I think you might be underage. So it was a child. George Wishart. About 500 years ago, he was born in Scotland. He was a Scottish preacher, and he had a heart for the truth and for the Reformation. He was a preacher marked by his clarity, conviction, and deep submission to God's holy word. And I don't know about you, but 500 years ago, that's a long time ago, right? 500 years? It was a different world than we're living in today, for sure. And preaching the truth of God's word during that time of the Scottish Reformation, he knew the cost of what he was doing. Now, if you go around and preach the gospel today, depending on where you are, you're probably pretty safe. But back then, he knew what he was doing, because preaching the truth of Scripture in his time wasn't just controversial. It was dangerous. It meant opposition, arrest, and often death to those who preached against the church. the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church at that time. And eventually that's what came to George Wishart. Opposition, arrest, and death. If you have a chance to read about his life, Fox's Book of Martyrs gives a great excerpt of his life. And the more I read about this guy, the more I just fall in love with him. He was betrayed, arrested, and condemned. He had many attempts on his life. One, right after he preached the gospel in the pulpit, there was a priest that was down. On the way he came down from the pulpit, who was going to kill him. He had many attempts on his life. So preaching isn't always safe, Craig. I just want to let you know. The accounts of his final days is definitely something striking. He didn't panic. He had no regrets, but he had peace and composure. Because he had already settled in his heart long before he stood at the stake and was burnt at the stake after he was hung. He decided that God's wisdom in Christ was better than life itself. It was more precious to him than his very life. And he gave it freely. Losing his life was how he would find it. And what appears to be defeat for George Wishart becomes victory. Because one of his disciples, one of his students, was a man by the name, and you might know his name, John Knox. It was through that fire of George Wishart that the Reformation burned bright. God's wisdom will help you also navigate the challenges that you face in your life, and it will truly bless you when you see the value of it, what it means to know the wisdom of God that is truly only found in Christ Himself. The theme of our text this morning is the blessing of the Lord's wisdom. And we're going to look at just two aspects of that theme. It's blessed value and it's blessed life. It's blessed value and it's blessed life. When you find wisdom, when you hold on to wisdom, when you gain it, you become wealthy. Riches kind of beyond your understanding. Riches that kind of blow your mind. Riches that this world can't even come close to. Wisdom is greater than gold here or rubies. He really paints a beautiful picture here, right? Look at verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, the one who gets understanding. For the gain of her is better than the gain of silver. Her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can compare to her. Sounds pretty good. Yeah, it's a lot of riches. Gold, silver, rubies, 401ks, IRAs. Pale in comparison to wisdom. Wisdom is priceless. The other day I saw this interviewer. He was interviewing people and he said, if I gave you $100 million right now, would you take it? I can see you're all thinking right now, that doesn't sound too bad. Dennis is thinking how he would invest it, maybe. $100 million. Right now, I'm just going to give it to you as if I had that amount of money. I don't. But there's one catch. One catch. You won't wake up tomorrow. You take the 100,000? 100 million, excuse me? No, most of you would not. Your life that you've been given is worth more than that. What a precious life God has given to us. Priceless. No amount can buy, and His wisdom comes to us and gives us true life in Christ Himself. As I was doing a little bit of research on priceless things, I was very interested to find, what's priceless? The Mona Lisa. Oh, no, they put a price on that. A few $100 million. They don't know exactly. Maybe $500 million. They don't know. It's one of a kind. Priceless. And yet, they put a price on it. The Hope Diamond. Famous Hope Diamond. Probably pretty similar price. But they put a price on it also. Supposedly a priceless jewel. Then I looked up Fort Knox. How much gold is in Fort Knox? There's a lot. It's the highest reserves of gold bullion in America. And very secure, by the way. Almost 45 tons of gold. Now, you might be calculating that in your head. That's a lot. How much is that worth? Well, depending on the price of gold, you can calculate that, right? Somewhere around half a trillion, give or take. Priceless items, and yet we put a price on them, do we not? However, one drop of the blood of Christ has infinite more value than any priceless thing this world could give. Value. Its blessed value comes from the wisdom of Christ Himself. It made me think of two examples in Scripture and very different endings. One was the pearl of great price, or right next to that was the buried treasure, where the person who found this pearl or the treasure, they went out and sold everything they had to acquire this precious, precious thing. It mattered not how much it cost. They gave it all up because of how precious this, in that case, the pearl was that he'd found. The other example is the rich young ruler, right? Where he was rich. He had great questions for Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Great question. Love the question. Ultimately, talks about God's law. And then he hits him right where it hurts, right? Right in the pocketbook. He says, go and sell all you have and follow me. And what was his response? Very different. Was it not? He went away sad. Sad. Because he had great wealth. He didn't want to give all his wealth up. It wasn't worth it. The value of it wasn't as great as what he had already. Where the one who found the pearl gave freely, generously. Nothing is worth it. Truly what the wisdom of God is in Christ. What has value to you? I ran up against this African proverb as I was doing some research. And the name of the person I could try, but I probably butcher the name of the person I'm quoting. The first name I think I can get, Machana. but the Duliliho or something or whatever. Anyway, I can't really say that name. But this is, I thought it was very, maybe you've heard it before, but I thought it was very poignant to thinking of the value of things and what money can do. The quote is, "Money, with money you can buy a watch, but you cannot buy time. With money you can buy medicine, but not health. With money you can buy a house, but not a home. With money you can buy a bed, but not sleep. With money you can buy possessions, but not contentment. With money you can buy books, but not wisdom." Obviously, there are things that money cannot buy. As you live in this world and the fleetingness of this world, maybe you can see that more and more. I see it the older I get. Things don't last. There's only really one thing that lasts. One thing that you can take with you from this world to the next. And that's Jesus, Jesus himself. As he rode into Jerusalem, the crowds burst, as we sang this morning, "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Save us!" That Palm Sunday, the crowds knew the worth of Jesus, and they yelled it. "Hosanna, you have come, finally, the one is here, save us. He's the one, the final one. We love him, we can't help but say Hosanna." Yet just 5 days later, they're yelling, many of them, "Crucify." They didn't see the value anymore of who Jesus was. They were looking for an earthly king, one who would come and destroy the Roman Empire, maybe. But he is an eternal king, coming in a very different way than what they expected. He is the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant that one would come to reign as a king forever. A son of David. That covenant that God made with David. An eternal king which gives an eternal inheritance. An eternal inheritance for those who believe and trust in Christ. Ephesians 1:18, 1 Peter 1:4, both of these talk about that. Let me see if I can grab a couple of these. Ephesians 1:18. "Having eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which you have been called, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints." And 1 Peter 1:4, it says, I almost need to go up before that, do I not? "You've been born into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time." Imperishable, glorious inheritance, value of which you could never even estimate. Infinite value of the eternal inheritance in Christ. Now that's value. The second point is its blessed life. Now, I don't know if you saw in the verses, but it talks about the right hand and the left hand of wisdom. All right? Let's read it again. Verse 16. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Long life. She is a tree of life. Those who find her are blessed. Blessed not just now, today, but blessed for eternity. Blessing of the tree of life. Now, I don't know how much you know about Scripture's portrayal of the tree of life. Doing a little more research, I found the tree of life, at least in the version that I had, was only found 12 times in Scripture. And it's very interesting, it's only in three books. Genesis, Proverbs, and Revelation. Another interesting note that I found, maybe you're not interested in this kind of stuff, maybe you are. It's referred to four times in Genesis, four times in Proverbs, and four times in Revelation. 12. The tree of life. If you look back to Genesis, you can see, right? Genesis chapter 2 is the first introduction to the tree of life. Genesis 2, verse 9. And out of the ground God, the Lord God, made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it talks about a river flowing through the Garden of Eden. The tree of life. Proverbs here brings out. And you look in Revelation, you see it too. Almost, yeah. The very end, right? The very end of Scripture. So you have the very beginning and the very end. In chapter 22 of Revelation. Verse 2. Where it says, through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I think I mentioned that last week even in my sermon. Leaves for healing. The tree of life. When you find wisdom, when you gain understanding, when you hold on to it, the wisdom of God that's only found in Jesus. It's the Sunday school answer. You got to give that every time, right? The wisdom of God is only found in Jesus himself. That's the wisdom of God. It's not an idea or a philosophy or a pattern of life or anything like that. The wisdom of God is Jesus. Nothing else. I mean, when you find it, you find the tree of life. Eternal life is only found in him. The things of this world rust and are destroyed, but Christ, by the wisdom of God, gives salvation to everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Blessed life. A blessed life here today and a blessed life after this life. for an eternity. That is our hope, a living hope. It's only found in this imperishable inheritance that's found in Christ, the wisdom of God. Heaven and the tree of life is only found in Christ. Christ plus nothing. You know, I just heard this illustration recently from Alistair Begg, and I think it's very poignant here for us this morning. And he says it's a great little illustration talking about the thief on the cross. Right? There was Jesus in the middle, and you had two thieves on each side. And one of the thieves just kept saying bad things about Jesus. And the other one said, hey, stop it. He's done nothing wrong. We're up here for our sins. But he's innocent. Then he asked Jesus a question. He says, please remember me, right? In your kingdom. And Alistair was like, you know, I can't wait to see this guy. Right? Maybe you've heard him talk about this illustration. So when he gets up to heaven, right? And he's at the pearly gates and the angel says, why should I let you into heaven? To the thief. And he says, I don't know. He says, well, what do you know about baptism? Well, I don't know anything about baptism. Well, what do you know about substitutionary atonement? Well, I got nothing. I don't know anything about that. So the angel calls his supervisor angel up and says, this guy, I don't know why he wants it. And then he comes up and he says, so why do you think we should let you into heaven? And the thief says, the man in the middle cross said I could come. Today you will be with me in paradise. Baptism, doctrine, theology, all of Scripture, they're amazing gift from God. But all you need to get to heaven is Jesus and nothing else. There's no work you can do. There's no holiness that you can do. And that's where the reformers really came in. Scripture alone, faith alone, Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Wishart knew that. They called him Master George Wishart. Verse 17, pleasantness and peace. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. That's what Jesus gives to you and me when we believe and trust in him. Pleasantness and peace. The wisdom of God gives goodness today and forever. What a blessed life it is in Christ. What a blessed life it is in the wisdom of God that is found in Christ. He is our creator. He is our redeemer. He's the one who can bless. George Wishart knew that the wisdom of God in Christ had great value, and truly it was life itself. Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And what a blessed life it is in Christ. May God help you, help all of us, to find his wisdom, to see the blessings that it brings. God's wisdom is clearly found in Christ, your blessed treasure and your blessed life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we bow before you, we acknowledge that you You loved us so much that you gave yourself for us. As we come up against this Holy Week,